One Big Church Radio. I'm Barkley here with Bruce Deal, who is the CEO and founder of City of Refuge out of Atlanta. Bruce, we had the fortunate opportunity to meet back in December, a couple months ago. Heard about what you had going on in Atlanta, wanted to come and check it out, and what you have is absolutely phenomenal, and how you have managed to make it grow and how it all started was just so impressive to me that I thought it was imperative to get you on this podcast to share with others. A lot of who was listening are church leaders, and you with your church background and just how you run your nonprofit, I just think that a lot of people can take away some really valuable things from what you're doing there. So I just wanted to start out by telling me a little bit about yourself. You've got, you're always active. Yeah, I see you always are running. You've got some kids that just graduated too, right?
Yeah, Rhonda and I have been married 30 years, and we have five daughters that are now 27, 25, 23, 21, and a 15-year-old, one grandson, two grandsons on the way. And so we have a great family, very connected to each other, and participate in a lot of working out and running together with the girls and enjoying life to the fullest here at City Refuge in Atlanta.
Well, you certainly stay busy, and that's what's even more impressive. So you used to be a pastor. Take me back. You were a pastor, a student pastor, right, out of Augusta at one point, correct?
I was in Augusta early on in my ministry. So I left college in 1983 and went into full-time ministry for 14 years. So I was a youth and associate pastor for those 14 years. Served at churches in Augusta and Atlanta and also in my home state of Virginia, and came to Atlanta in 1992 and was on staff at a church here in Atlanta for 5 years before coming downtown. So my background is ministry, 14 years in full-time student and associate pastor ministry before coming to City of Refuge.
So we're going to get to how the City of Refuge job began, but you know, I just want to kind of get to the core of this. Your ministry and City of Refuge, what it does is you're helping thousands of impoverished people within the city of Atlanta. And so when you see these people every day and those who are homeless or addicted, talk to me about some of the problems that you're seeing them face as they come into your ministry.
Well, our ministry headquarters is located in 30314 zip code, which statistically and demographically is one of the toughest zip codes in the state of Georgia every year. So for a lot of years, we're the highest crime rate in the state of Georgia per capita, highest homeless population, highest number of HIV positive cases, more men and women incarcerated from our zip code than any other zip code. 73% of our children in a single parent household, a 35% graduation rate. Numbers like 60% of all the murders that occur in Atlanta, metropolitan area, 5.8 million people occur in our neighborhood. So since we're located there, most of the people that we engage on a daily basis are from some level of opportunity and justice background. So either they didn't have opportunities for a supportive family growing up, they didn't have opportunities for quality education, they didn't have opportunities, obviously, if they didn't have the education, they didn't have opportunities for viable employment. Safe and affordable housing is not something that is available in our neighborhood. A community feel where the community rallies around you is not something they've experienced. So those that we encounter and engage from our community on a daily basis come to us with a lot of brokenness, a lot of dreams that never had the opportunity to even begin to be growing, much less fulfilled. And so there's a lot of desperation, a lot of feeling of futility, and a lot of depression. And a lot of that is just simply a result of the environment in which they were born and the environment in which they grew up. It's not necessarily indicative of their own personal motivation or their personal desire to do well. It's simply that they were dealt, the old adage, dealt a bad hand. And so we have to start transforming their thinking process, their thought process immediately to help them understand this is not the best it can be. And so that, you know, our little mission statement says bringing light, hope, and transformation. Well, that light is we try to turn the light on in the middle of their darkness and go, there is a better way in spite of what life has been to this point in time.
And so you're helping guide them to a life that is better. Tell me how you even got to this point. What is your story of how you got City of Refuge started?
Well, sure. I was on staff, as I mentioned, a church north of Atlanta for 5 years. And while I was there, we would bring youth groups and singles groups, ministry groups downtown to do ministry with a partner organization here in Atlanta, a little church called the Mission Church. And after I'd been at the church I was at for 5 years, I got a call, and the pastor had left that little church downtown. They'd been without a pastor about 6 months and were in a little bit of dire straits. And the bishop of our organization asked if I would come down for 6 months and most likely close the church and sell the property. And so it was basically a consulting assignment, and I agreed to do that. It was something a little different out of the ordinary, and I thought it'd be fun to sort of have some different life experiences. So we came down to do that, and about 5 or 6 weeks into that assignment, on a Sunday morning, a small group of people had gathered, and a young lady walked in. And at the end of the service, she just walked down the aisle, and she was weeping, and her words were, "I've been hooking and stripping 14 years. Can you help me?" And so we led her to Christ that morning, did some things for her that week, and I thought, well, this is a good thing that folks are still coming to Christ and still finding redemption even while we're closing this property, closing the church and selling the property. But it turns out she brought somebody else in crisis the next week, and they brought somebody back the following week. And about 4 months into our 6 month assignment, we walk in on a Sunday morning, and there are nearly 100 drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes and homeless folks have invited each other to church and are all looking at me going, "Can you help us?" And I looked at my wife, Rhonda, and drew on my deep theological seminary training and my ministry experience and said, "We've been conned by God." And so it just shifted for us there. And we realized that, you know, the plans and dreams that we had for our own life had to be set aside because there was a different plan. And so we resigned our great position at a great church and a great home and neighborhood and started pastoring that little church and started City of Refuge 20 years ago this July.
But you had all five of your girls there and your wife. I mean, that's, you guys were what, on the top floor, living in the top floor of one of the buildings there, right, where you were preaching?
Yeah, we had, at the time, 20 years ago, we had four of our girls. They were 7, 5, 3, and 1. Our fifth daughter was born shortly after we came downtown, a few years after we came downtown. So we moved into, my wife Rhonda called me one morning out of her quiet time, devotion time, and she was weeping, and she said, "If we're really going to impact the city, we need to go to the city." And so we looked around and couldn't really afford a lot of the nicer neighborhoods, obviously, because we were basically missionaries to the inner city. And the neighborhoods we could afford, we didn't think probably were safe for our children. So we ended up moving in the third floor of this old 65-year-old church building where we lived the first 6 years. And, you know, a lot of fun experiences. We're broken into 34 times and had three vehicles stolen and guns, knives, fist fights. I've been in Superior Court with guys that tried to kill me. And it was just more fun than we'd ever had in a regular church. Although some folks don't quite understand that. It was an adventure every day. Our girls could literally look out their bedroom windows on the fourth floor and see Dad in a physical altercation when somebody was trying to break in the building. And so it sort of shaped their worldview to understand that there are people at really deep levels of crisis. There's also another group of people that have overcome those crises, and we think those folks should meet in the middle. And that's what we taught our girls from the time they were very young, and they're heavily involved in the ministry now.
So you started City of Refuge, and you said, we need to make something bigger than just having this church. We need to serve these people who are impoverished. Thousands of nonprofits start up all the time, and they all have great intentions, and they don't succeed. Many of them don't succeed. Yours is not only succeeding, but yours is thriving. Tell me what all you have done. You have it not just in Atlanta, but you're expanded too.
Well, our goal, Barclay, when we started, I shared with the few folks that were hanging out. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what we feel like God's called us to do with passion and excellence. And so I said, you either feel this or you don't. And if we do feel it and we feel like it's where we've been called, then we're going to do it at the highest level of excellence possible. So we will do less and do it better versus doing more and not doing it as well. And so our first year was simply a 20 student after-school program for elementary students from impoverished neighborhoods. And we just fed them and clothed them and helped them with homework and took them on trips and retreats. And that's all we did for 12 to 15 months because we could do that well with our budget and the number of folks that were hanging out. Then we added a program to minister to their mothers, and then we added a program to minister to their aunties and their grandmothers. And while we were going to pick them up, we noticed homeless guys on the corner, hundreds at a time. And I said, well, we can't just drive by without knowing what's going on. So we stopped and had conversation and found out many of them were returning citizens getting released from Fulton County Jail. And if you get released from jail, you get a $25 check and your belongings, and that closest place that cashes that check is the liquor store on the corner. And I said, well, let's start a reentry program. And then I said, well, rather than just reentry, why don't we start an alternative sentencing program so they don't have to go to jail to start with? And so it really was interesting in the fact that there was not what is termed a strategic plan for many years at City of Refuge. It's what we call ministry by opportunity. So we would do one thing, we would do it really well, and then another door would open itself up and we would start to do as much of that as we could as long as we were doing it really well. And it's just built one on the other. And now we have on campus 225 homeless women and children in a 180-day program with full support services, medical, mental health, dental, vision, life coaching, parenting classes, finance classes, a full daycare from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. for them. We have a private Christian school for middle school and high school. We have vocational training programs in both auto skills and culinary. We're in construction now to add 10 more vocational training opportunities around that. We employ about 20% of our employees now out of 100 employees are those that have come through our program and graduated and are now on the right track and work for us. We still have the church that I went to close. It still meets on campus. It's in a great, vibrant Bible worship environment, almost exclusively made up of those in crisis with a few of those from the suburbs that want to be a part of that. So it's a very unique environment. You never quite know what might happen on a Sunday. But as it began to grow, folks from around the country that were either starting nonprofits or had smaller nonprofits and wanted to work on scaling began to reach out to us and ask for our consulting services. And so now we have about 25 agencies around the country that are either cities of refuge under our 501c3 or they have their own nonprofit status, and we serve as consultants to them and help them with board development and strategic planning and fundraising. And we have a heavy duty influence in Jamaica, where we've been for more than 22 years, even before we got here, but we continued the City of Refuge influence there. And we have a City of Refuge in Dominican Republic. And so it has gone to a place we never even thought about dreaming about. Folks ask now, how did you come up with this idea? We're very candid and say we had no idea. Yeah. That this would take place. We simply tried to be obedient in the small things.
And so for those church leaders who are listening, I mean, how do you relate how you were within the church capacity? You say slow and with excellence. Can you relate that to a church? You know, so often people want to jump in feet first and just get all these campus out, all these new campuses and all of this outreach, but you really harp on your secret being just slow and do it well, and it will grow.
Well, yeah, I mean, for us, that's what's worked. And so, you know, I speak to that only out of my own life experience, not out of, you know, study or intellect about it. I just speak to it from my own life's experiences. I felt compelled to do it that way when we started, and it has worked exceptionally well for us. One of our greatest challenges right now is the fact that we have a significant number of folks around the country that want us to come and either replicate City of Refuge in their community or partner with them to help scale their organization. And while that seems like an open door and a great opportunity, we're having to say no to far more folks than we're saying yes to, simply because we don't want to dilute or water down the effectiveness. So if we get spread too wide and too thin, it gives us a greater footprint, and folks think that we are more successful, but we understand that the life impact that is really taking place when we stretch ourselves too thin is far less than if we're in fewer environments doing deeper work. And so, you know, again, the old adage that, you know, I'd rather be a mile deep and an inch wide versus an inch wide and a mile, an inch deep and a mile wide. I'd much rather be a smaller footprint that goes much deeper, impacts people's lives in a much larger way than I would to have more and more campuses around the country and more acclaim that comes with that.
Absolutely. And so you obviously have to have a great leadership team and a great board of directors, and that is something to be admired as well. I mean, you have this, not only the city that of Atlanta that backs you and the mayor, but you have a fantastic board of directors, and like churches, you have to have your elders and you have folks that help you. Talk to me about, kind of unpack how you got to that point where you had great leaders that wanted to join in with what you're doing.
Sure. And without that, you know, this wouldn't be successful. So we have to have leadership at every level, the executive level, the management level, all the way down. And the way we have chosen to identify leaders, both from a board perspective, an executive level position, a management position, is out of relationship. So, and that becomes more and more challenging. The larger we grow, the more staff we have to have. In the beginning, when you only have 4, 5, or 6 staff, it's easy to hire out of relationship. When you get to the point you have 100 employees and you have to have masters of social work and clinicians and trauma-informed care specialists, it becomes a little bit too easy to hire out of resume. So there are certain qualifications that have to be there for those folks to fill that position. But I've just held the line that we're not going to hire just out of resume. We have to hire out of relationships. So they have to believe in who we are, they have to believe in what we do, and they have to believe in why we do it. And if they don't believe in those three things, it doesn't matter how good their resume is. And so that's, you know, when I talk to leaders about who they hire, who they employ, that's sort of what I stand on is, you know, there has to be this belief system and this heart connectivity that, and then I can train folks, right? The resume is what it is, but we can offer continuing education and professional development and all the other tools and resources that they need, but I can't make somebody have the right heart. And so that's what we look for as it relates to our board of directors and our executive team, all the way down to the folks that are our custodians. And it's all about the relationship that they have, first of all, obviously with God, but then that they have with me and with the heart of the organization.
Absolutely. And so what are the wins that you see for those who go through the City of Refuge successfully? You mentioned that many of them do come back and start working with you, so you're able to provide them a place of employment as well.
Exactly. Well, there are several places of win. You know, so we've helped thousands, about 20,000 people in 20 years. So we serve about 1,000 unique individuals a year. So, you know, we have volumes of stories now of folks who are in poverty that now are middle income, successful people in life that grew up without any kind of family structure or model for them, that are now husband and wife and children and living, you know, in a family unit and understanding how important that is. Many who had never finished school that we took through the GED training program and they were able to get their education. Many who had no opportunities for employment. And as they graduate the Napa Auto Skills program or the 180-degree culinary arts training program, they go directly to work, 100% employment placement out of our vocational training programs for the last several years. So, and one of the biggest wins is they start to believe in themselves. So we help them with jobs, we help them with housing, we help them with education. But more importantly than that, we help them with self-identity. And so the underlying most significant piece of everything we do is that they are created in the image of God and that they need a relationship with Him. I can help them with all these other felt needs, but if they don't develop that right relationship, they're going to find themselves at some level of crisis again in life and not have the tools to deal with that.
Absolutely. And so that kind of speaks into those who don't go through this successfully. It's got to be hard to see them not succeed in a sense. I mean, but that's just the reality of life, right? I mean, far too
well hard. It is, and it's one of the biggest challenges for my staff. I'm wired a little differently, but for my staff, the success rate here, quote unquote, is not strong. You know, so if we see 20,000 people, we can probably point to 10% of those, you know, 2,000 people whose lives have been radically transformed, very productive in society, you know, great families, great jobs. And so that's a low return on your investment if you look at it from a worldly view. That's not what we're about. What we're about is simple obedience to what we know we've been called to do. And so if we are obedient to the call, we are successful. Yeah. And every person who chooses to embrace the resources we give them, that literally is just a bonus for us. And so I have to continually train and teach my staff that it's not about everybody who says yes or no or does right or wrong. It's about you doing the thing that you've been called to do and fulfilling the purpose of City of Refuge. And that doesn't make it any less emotional, right? When somebody leaves us that we've invested in, when somebody dies of a drug overdose, when somebody ends up in prison the rest of their life or kills somebody because of their failure to accept the resources we give them, of course it's emotional, it's heartbreaking, it's gut-wrenching. But we get up the next day and do the same thing because there's a chance somebody's going to get it right today.
I love it. I think that those who are listening are going to take some great value in just how you went from not thinking you would do anything like this to being a very successful, not only nonprofit, but ministry that's helping thousands and thousands of people. And Bruce, we always like to end on a fun note. So I want to know, what's the last book that you read, or what are you currently reading?
You know, the last book I read is called The Boys in the Boat, and it's a phenomenal book about the 1936 Berlin Olympics and one of the guys' story there. So it's a phenomenal book by Daniel Brown called The Boys in the Boat. Very inspirational, motivational.
I love it. Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you making some time for us today. Thank you so, so much. And continue to do the great work that you're doing. If anybody has an opportunity to ever get out to City of Refuge and take a look at it, I highly encourage, because it is something that's absolutely phenomenal with great, great things in store for you all. Bruce, thank you so much. Where can folks go to learn more? Cityofrefuge.com?
Cityofrefugeatl.org.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Bruce. Well, you have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will talk soon. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.